I'm delighted to invite Kangsang to come up and speak to us today. Would you like to give him a round of applause? Him and Lorne, that's great. Kangsang, welcome. I've heard him speak at an event some years ago, but I met him properly for the first time yesterday. He came to the house for dinner with some other friends from ABC, which was great. Got to know you a bit, a bit about you. Just tell us a little bit about your journey, what you've been involved with over your life, working life.
Yes. Firstly, thank you for having me. I come from Malaysia. Previously, we worked with OMF. I know some of you. Paul Brand.
He's at the back.
The family, who are dear friends, we all work together. And then my wife and I, Lorne, were mission tutors at Redcliffe College in Gloucester for a number of years. And then in the last 6 years, it's been a real privilege to come and serve with BMS.
Fantastic. And just to say that in conversation, Kangsang was just expressing where he's worked, who he's worked with, who he's been taught by. And it was kind of like my top 10 of all the great Christian teachers and writers. They go, wow, you did that and everything. And just to reassure about his credentials, he has only got 2 PhDs. So I know, you know, he might struggle a bit with us today, but yeah.
But it'll be a simple word for all of us today.
That's great. Let's just pray for him, shall we?
Thank you.
Father, in this place, you use people to speak by your Holy Spirit words of truth that somehow remarkably speak deeply into our hearts and minds. And we pray nothing less that you use Kangsang in this way. For your glory's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ashley, and thank you, church. I think firstly, I want to come to express our heartfelt thanks on behalf of BMS. I know that many of you have been faithful supporters, the mission team. You have sent out and supported missionaries in the past, people like Arthur and Lewis Brown, and currently Emily Dickinson. And in different ways, you as a church, probably even beyond us, BMS is a mission of 230 years, and probably our forefathers, early generations of ABC, have continued on this link. For example, in the recent current war of Ukraine, BMS was among the first mission. Within the first month, we were already raising funds, and we have raised over £2 million of UK. You know, see, we are an expression of a local Baptist churches. We are not a big hierarchical church, a denomination, but where small Baptist churches are united, we can contribute to make impact for the world. So today, BMS work in over 30 countries, and we continue to work in some of the most difficult countries, such as Afghanistan. Just in the last month, 18 of our national workers have been arrested in Afghanistan. They are under house arrest, and BMS continue to work through our local workers. We continue to be committed to the gospel, to evangelism. We continue to plant churches, for example, in Buddhist countries such as Thailand or Cambodia, where there's no church. Or in North India, among the Hindu countries, in the last 10, 15 years, over 200,000 indigenous believers who are non-church who has come to Christ. So today we are excited, not only in evangelism, heart for the gospel, not only in working among the poorest countries in the world, but thirdly, we have developed a third strategic priorities, what we call people on the move, looking at migrants that are coming to Europe. So if you go to BMS website, you will be updated to what we continue to do today in the 21st century. There are ways that you as individual, maybe to support £10 a month, for example. That way you receive every month prayer news and latest updates. So with that, I think we should focus on our message today. And it is to encourage all of us as we think about the topic of discipleship and mission today from the perspective of the Gospel of Mark. And I'd just like to read a few verses from Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 to 3, and then I'll select a few other verses. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says that the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This is the second time, the emphasis of the way. And make straight ways for him. So there's an emphasis on the way of Jesus. In verse 14, John proclaimed the good news of God, and he says that the time has come. He said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, his brother Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Our Lord says, come, follow me. Jesus said, I will send you out to fish for people. So what is discipleship? And what is the changing mission today? Each of us enter in our own journey of faith. Mark writes with a particular perspective of discipleship journeys. And he's inviting all of us, even today, to reflect upon how each of us have come to faith. Some of us may grow up in a Christian home, maybe as a child. Others may be like me. I'm the first generation Christian. I grew up in a Buddhist home. My brother is a Buddhist monk. And every week, we go to the Buddhist temple. Today, Buddhism have grown not only in Asia, but coming to the West. So my brother come to Birmingham, to Austria, where Buddhist missionaries are building a new mission among Buddhism in the West. But each of us have our own faith journey. Mark used these way motifs. So right from the beginning, he reminds us, enter into the gospel stories. Now, those of us who study the Bible in those olden days, maybe 30, 40 years ago, we look at harmonizing the gospel. And any differences, we try to make them one, only one gospel truth. But in recent studies, people realize that each gospel writer has a particular narrative, a particular intention. And for Mark, he's using what we call the journey motif. That Jesus is walking from Galilee towards Jerusalem. And he's inviting people to enter into the journey motif. I don't want to embarrass, I think, was it Leslie who went on this journey? Oh, no, you. It's you, that's right, I'm mixing up. It's our pastor and Sandra, and they've joined on this journey motif. So likewise today, we are all on this pilgrimage. So for Mark, it's really interesting. He organizes the gospel in two equal sections. 16 chapters, the first 8 chapters is focusing about Jesus in Galilee. Jesus in a place of receptivity, for example, in Mark chapter 3. But if Galilee is a place of popularity, large crowds following after him, lots of action, and then it slows down when it reaches from chapter 8, 9, 10 onwards. Because as Jesus moves into the second part of Mark's gospel, so he organizes this journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, it is from Jesus moving from a place of popularity and receptivity into times of sufferings and persecution. So Mark is inviting us to reflect into this journey of the early disciples, where discipleship is walking with Jesus in his mission. And it is inviting us about this transitional journey of the church. The church, the West, for example, in this major shift, where people say that for Christianity from the 3rd century up to 100 years ago is primarily a church from the West to the rest. And BMS is part of these wonderful mission movements where we have sent missionaries, our sons and daughters, into Africa, to Asia, to Latin America. But today there's this transitional journey. Not only there's a decline of Christianity in the Western world, but there's a flowering of Christianity in Africa, Latin America, in some parts of Asia. So we are all part of this journey, including our own personal journey. We wish there are times for us to tell one another stories. How did you come to faith? Are you the first generation or are you the third? Some of you have long history of being in this church. But God is working out this transitional journey of the church. So as we say in Mark, where we have read this discipleship definition of Jesus that we found in verse 17 of chapter 1, discipleship is about following Jesus, being with him and follow him. And as we follow him, he sent us out to be fishers of men and women, to preach the gospel. So this is a very simple definition. But I think the danger for us is over time, we make it really complicated. We add more and more requirements of discipleship. But let's look at Mark. For Mark, just say focus on these two aspects. For example, in Mark chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, again, he has the same definition of discipleship. When Jesus sent out the early disciples, the 12, he appointed them that they might be with him, follow him, walk with Jesus, be with him, and then he might send them out to preach. So this is the same commitment. Discipleship definition is about being with Jesus and walking in his way. And that doesn't mean we all need to be missionaries. Join BMS. Actually, mission is at our doorstep today. We are all disciples here, and in little ways, in significant ways, God is bringing the nations to our doorstep. So all of us are part of this discipleship and mission today. Of course, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is about mission from Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So even William Carey, when he first went to India, his vision wasn't to get more Westerners to be sent out to India. Carey wrote about the vision of discipleship is that these Indian believers will reach out all over India. And these Africans in Africa will reach out all over Africa. So BMS today is experiencing this new shift where we don't have many missionaries from UK to be sent out, but today we are partnering with Asian churches, African churches, encouraging and challenging them to be mission. But then the ends of the earth have also come to Jerusalem. And this, I think, friends, is a wonderful expression of discipleship and mission together in our Jerusalem, where God has brought the ends of the earth. And again, we need to not just see the different colors in this church. We need to see the wonderful colors of Britain that is changing in its diversity. So if we go back to Mark's gospel, Mark is saying, actually, when Jesus was moving from Galilee to Jerusalem, the disciples, he was testifying about himself. We fail to understand Jesus and the cross. In fact, he organizes successive failures of discipleship. You know, nowadays, all our prime ministers or presidents, when they finish their term, they all try to defend their legacies. And how do they testify about their time? Is of all the successes they have done. You know, but Mark says, when we reflected on our time with Jesus, we realize we have misunderstood discipleship and Jesus' mission. And that, because of time, I've just listed a number of those occasions where they refused to feed 5,000, they misunderstood Jesus' parables and teaching. Each of them will argue about who's the greatest, and then they send these little children, people away. And he just organized them together. In contrast to your failures, Mark, all about throughout different parts of his narratives, see the people who were proclaimed to have faith, understood Jesus' missions, but what was we call the insignificant people, such as Jairus and the woman bleeding with blood, the Syrophoenician woman, the Gentiles, the outsiders, blind Bartimaeus, the poor widows, people who may have little people. So-called, in the eyes of the world, may not have significant positions in life, but in the eyes of God, these are the people who understood Jesus. So who's the insiders of the kingdom? Who's the outsiders? And God is bringing his kingdom of God in a new way, in an upside-down way. And it's so wonderful, even today, in a way to have a worship of, through our Iranian sisters and brothers, is inviting us to have this sense of the wider work of the kingdom of God. We have a student from Latvia, possibly, from Eastern Europe, and she was a member in Gloucester, where we were at New Brunswick Baptist Church. And she saw all these people from all over the world. And what she did was to invite them to her home. And then the hospitality keep increase. Then she asked the deacons and the elders of the churches and say, can we use the church, you know, to have this once a month eating time and just reaching out to these migrants, whether they're from Syria, from Iran, from Central, Eastern Europe, people from Asia, Africa, they're all coming together. You know, and soon it grew and grew and grew. And eventually she had this international cafe where every month the whole church participated. Once a month, we have this international fellowship, and often, you know, the Asian, the Africans, the Latin Americans, they are all fighting to host. They're the one who throw the banquet and hospitality. And then we as church members, we who are within the British church, we invite our friends. You know, so it is this wonderful growth. The church that possibly about just over 100 people are now over 300 because of this welcoming. We think they are the outsiders, they are the little people, but once the church welcomed them, we find that it transformed us as a church. So the climax for Mark is that he rearranges this successful three successful failures of the disciples. You know, we are the one who knows the gospel. We are the leaders of a church. We are the insiders. And yet he ended his story that Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter, James, and John were asleep in Jesus' hour of need. And then the kind of leader of the band, Peter, denied Jesus three times. So he is particularly rearranging all these events to emphasize that discipleship is about being with Jesus towards the cross in Jerusalem. But at the end of Jesus' journey, we all have failed him. Discipleship is about proclaiming the gospel to others, so-called to the outsiders. And no one has said anything about the gospel. In the early manuscripts, Mark's gospel ended in Mark chapter 16, verse 8. In fact, if you have some of your Bible, there is a footnote that says that the earliest manuscripts ended with Mark chapter 16, verse 8, where it says, trembling and bewildered, the woman went out. Where are the men? Only the woman who was there, right? And fled to the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And that's the end of the early manuscript. That's the ending. It ended suddenly when Mark ended the gospel with a note of failure. But in God's goodness, we have this Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20, where it is giving us that clue that failure is not the end. You know, we find that these doubtful, divided disciples turned the whole Roman Empire upside down. The history of missions shows that the whole empire, the disciples went all over Judea, Samaria, and to the unknown ends of the world. And we find here the clue sometimes is that when we look at our own lives, it is easy for us to beat ourselves and say, we have failed the Lord. But my prayer, friends, that whatever stage of your spiritual journey, and maybe there are times that we feel a spiritual dryness, God may be encouraging us that the key to overcoming our failures is to again be reminded of the risen Lord and to put our trust in Him. And this church, for example, where all of us are united together in contributing a little bit of whatever the Lord has given us, sometimes just to be prayers, prayer supporters. In a lot of our mission, it is really through prayers of faithful supporters that where God has accomplished great work. Secondly, maybe to contribute our time or gift, whether locally, you know, the harvest month, or overseas, say a group like BMS, you like to support us, £10 a month. That's all it takes. But then that way you contribute as part of God's wider mission. And so we find that God is still doing His work today. What is discipleship? Being with Jesus and walking in His way of mission. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Mark's gospel, inviting us again of Your love and Your goodness. Oh, You are so faithful all through these years to each of our lives. We think of this church, the many faithful disciples that have gone ahead of us. We think of the privilege of being at ABC, right in the heart of Manchester, where You have brought brothers and sisters from many nations to be together. May You transform us through this welcoming of the nations. And we continue to be reminded, Lord, Your heart's desire is that all will know You. And pray for our own partnership with Your servants at BMS, as well as Your churches around the world, that together we may be faithful disciples of Jesus, being with Him and being sent out into the world, including our own doorstep, mission in Manchester. For we pray and give You thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much.